Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
That's a wonderful song. It's a good profession to have. I know that I've been born again. One might say, how do you know? Well, I feel good. Well, there's a lot of devils that feel pretty good too. You know, a devil wins a $100,000 lottery. Let me tell you, that old devil's feeling good, John. You know what I'm saying? And that old whoremongering devil gets him another girlfriend. He feel real good too. That old alcoholic gets him another pint of whiskey. You know, he feeling pretty good too. Amen. So when I talk about being born again, you know, it is wonderful when God makes you feel good. You know what I'm saying? It feels good to feel good. Amen. But you know what? When you've been born again, you know, when you talk about born naturally, you're a man. If you feel good or feel bad, you're a man. You're a woman. It don't matter if you feel good or feel bad, you're a woman. You know what I'm saying? And when you're born again, it isn't related on dancing in the church. It isn't related to running around the church. It isn't related to how good you feel. Amen. It isn't related to if your bills are paid or not paid. Amen. And he helps us with all them things. But let me tell you something. You know that you know who you are in him, and you're willing to suffer for him. You're willing to take a beating for him, because you're his servant. Amen. Y'all love the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm thankful that I could sing a song. I'm born again, freed from sin. Amen. And I know the attack on the word of God, the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord is bad. And the churches that should be called in defense of his word, they teach you that you're not perfect. They teach you that you're a sinner and that you sin every day. They write their songs about it. They teach you so much things that are so contrary to the Bible and the written word. And then you teach their word, and then they turn on you and call you a cult. Amen. When you teach the Bible of what it says. You know what? It's really wild. You know, if somebody has different convictions than me, and they want to dress like the world and look like the world, and they want to strip off, that's one thing. But why find fault with somebody that chooses to live holiness? Why would a woman in provocative clothing, lewd clothing, brother, why would she even look at a woman that's dressed decent like a woman and say, look at that devil, look at that cult, look at them people. They think they're, why can't they just say, you know what, it's honorable to see them like that. You know, so as you've heard me say, we don't look down on them, think we're better because we're holiness. We look at them with pity, thinking, God help them. I used to be blind like that. I used to be lost and blind, but now I see. And you know, your heart should go out to people that are bound in false doctrine. And preachers, they spend a lot of time getting you involved in what they do for you can feel like you're part of something, for you can support them. You don't need to be looking outside here, man. You've got it. You know, man, you dance with us, shout with us, and you scream. Man, I heard you scream the other night at church until your voice was gone. Man, I'll tell you what, you even outran the fat preacher around the church. Man, you got to have it, brother. You know, and they want to, again, some way of vindication, brother. You know, one man said that Brother William Branham's ministry was vindicated. And the things that they told me that vindicated his ministry do not vindicate no ministry or no spirit or no anointing. All due respect to Brother Brown, I'm not saying this in any way. And he was trying to say that Brother Pike's ministry wasn't vindicated. And I'm thinking, man, I tell you what, I'd seen the miracles. Was Jesus vindicated to those lepers because he healed them? Evidently not. They went off. If they would have known this is the living Son of God, maybe they would have stuck around because they needed more than a healing. They need to get born again. Amen. But people, you know, they evaluate everything that way. Had a man in one of the men's meetings, and he goes, you know, where's all the miracles at? You know, where's these miracles he's talking about times past? And he said, where's the blinded eyes opening, the deaf ears opening up, the lame maimed to walk? Amen. You know, Brother Chuck back there in a wheelchair, I've used him as an example. You say, man, he said under one of these supposed to be this great ministry. Well, let me tell you something. If he would have walked in there, he was lame. If he would have rolled in there in a wheelchair, he was lame. You understand that? But now he walks. But see, people don't rejoice in that because they see him in a chair. But brethren, let me tell you something. There's people that are blind. That Sister Crosby said that if somebody prayed for her and she received a miracle of eyesight, she said she'd reject it because she was afraid that if she started seeing with her natural eyes, she would quit seeing what she saw with her spiritual eyes. And some of her songs were written to know that she had seen into the spirit dimension and spirit realm. And people put too much emphasis on what they feel like, how they feel, and all those kind of things. Brother, let me tell you something. It's like Brother Pike said in a message here a few days I made mention to you. And he said, well, you don't think the anointed gets sick? The children, and he said, Elisha had a double portion of what Elijah had. And if that wasn't an anointed man of God, you've never seen one. And it said he got sick and fell dead, huh? Amen. So, you know, brethren, we're in an old temporal tabernacle that's going to go through a metamorphosis. It's not this body here. You know, it goes into the dirt buried in mortality, and it comes back in immortality. I've got an immortal spirit living and dwelling in me that's relative to God. Amen. But let me tell you, this body is relative to this dirt. Amen. And it's got to go through a metamorphosis. And the only way that this body is going to go through that metamorphosis is that you go through a transformation right here in the way you think. You start thinking like a child of God, a son of God, a man that's born again, a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray for you. Be seated. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the word and the spirit of the word. I thank you for the spirit life, Lord God. I thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ, Lord God, a very misunderstood thing. But Father, we ask you to help us tonight. Speak to us, move through us. Father, as we know, as you prayed, Lord God, in the scriptures, in the gospel, and you prayed for us, Lord God, and you spoke to the Father and said that we were in you and you in us. And Father, we're expecting you to speak to your people in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated this evening. You know, brethren, when we come to an understanding of the seriousness of the fight that we're in, we're all in the same warfare and we're in a fight. The people that we walk with, fellowship, see, work with, eye to eye with on a daily basis, you know, I understand, you know, a man went to Brother Pike one time, he said, Brother Pike, the devil's beating my brains out. And Brother Pike looked at him in pity, thinking, you know, God don't beat no son of God's brains out. But then yet you'd hear the same preacher exhorting a man to learn to fight. You know, as we rend the veil between the Son of Man and the Son of God has no problems. The Son of Man is riddled with them. In your first birth, you as a man, there's complications and travails and fights and struggles. The same man that said a son of God don't have no problems said as long as there's mankind around, there's problems. So he was always rending the veil. And we got to be careful as we're talking, if we're always speaking about the man and the man's weaknesses, the man's shortcomings, the man's failures, those things, they're just going to destroy us. We've talked over the months and the years, we talked about the difference between a confession and a profession. You know, I spoke another time years ago about, you know, a sin of commission and omission. And these are some differences in some things, the way we speak, the way we look, and the way we think about things and analyze. And I've heard what would assume to be a profession. And a profession, through the scrutiny, a profession through scrutiny in the eye of the observer could be considered a lie. You realize that? But the lie is the vanity part of the world. I had a woman that would have been considered my elder sitting right here in this church, 70 some odd years old, and I was speaking to her about a profession. And she made a statement that I can't say that because it would be a lie. Now, I've heard this over the years from Pentecostal people. If I profess something by the word of God, if I profess a healing, and it's evident in my body or in my life that I don't have it right now, that you don't see the substance or the evidence, but faith is a substance and an evidence, but you don't see the evidence or the substance, but my profession is, you know what? That's a lie. This cough is a lie. This sickness is a lie. Or this thing is a lie. It's all vanity. But I'll tell you what I am. You see, I use Chuck for an example. A man come up to him. We were in a restaurant one day, and he goes, you know, brother. And he was a real, very kind man. I'm not mocking this man or finding fault with him. But he gave him a gospel track, and he said, you know, someday. And he's right. You know, if Brother Chuck remains in that chair until with the redemption of the body, you know, if he's alive and well right here on this earth and the body goes through the transfiguration or the metamorphosis, the people will see him. But see, he could say, no, sir, he could have looked at this religious man, and Chuck kind of did. He looked at him in more pity than that guy was looking at him, because this guy could be so religious and never see beyond the curtain of time or the veil. And it's an analyzation. We're trained to think like men. We see somebody suffering and we feel sorry, but it could be the suffering that the Lord put upon them for they could be saved, for they could have salvation. And so many times we could get in the way of God doing something. You know, many times parents will stop their children from going to jail. And they'll get attorneys and they do this and they'll pay attorneys, spend thousands of dollars, keep them out of jail when they should have been sending a love offering to the prosecuting attorney and said, lock the little punk up. That would cause me a lot of problems, and it does, you know, the way I speak. But let me tell you, sometimes it could be the best thing that ever happened. They can go in there, yes, I know. They can go in there and get institutionalized, and they could just turn into some, you know, little guy that, you know, he gets around there and, you know, I met some up here at the probation office not long ago, and two men come in there and they look like two dogs. I know we got some inmates listening to me, and I hope you're listening well. But these two guys come in there and their macho self with their little bit of swag, I guess we could say. I'm talking about white trash, okay? When I say swag, doesn't going to apply to the black race. I'm talking about white trash right now. Some white punk that, by the grace of God, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, because I would have really liked to get in the flesh for a minute and slap some knots on his head. But he comes strutting off in there, and he sees another one of his buddies sitting across the room, man. And he starts talking as proud. Yeah, man, you know, man, I just done a year up at county, man. You know, yeah, man, it was nothing to it, man, you know. Like that. He should have been ashamed. He should have felt like a filthy, stinking dog because he lost his rights and got incarcerated. And they walk around, oh, yeah, man, I done 10 years. Man, you know, I done 5 years. I done this and think, you know. I appreciate this one judge. This kid goes into the courtroom. The judge was talking to him, and he had an attorney and this and that. And the judge told him, he said, well, I believe what we're going to do is give him a year. And he looked at the judge. He said, I could do that standing on my head. And he goes, well, let's see how five feels. Somebody give that judge a hand, amen. I tell you what, we need some judges to start putting some of these reprobates and keeping them in there. Amen. I'll fight for these guys that's been converted and born again and ready to get out and want to make a change. I spend finances and trying to do my part and work with them, labor and so. But I think I've got a right to say what I just said. Amen. But some of these ones that think that it's a mind, and they're talking a bunch of foolishness and nonsense. As I say, I go in there and they're talking, you know, yeah, you know, I've done this. And, you know, they should be ashamed. I'm ashamed that I ever yielded my members to any fleshly activities of perversion and filth. When I say perversion, when you call yourself a Christian, it is a filthy perversion to drink and to smoke and to do the things of the world, because it's not what sons of God do. You have perverted the cause and what you've done. You know, when people hear the word perversion or pervert, they always think, you know, of sexual immorality. And that's okay, and I do understand that. But let me tell you something. A woman pastor is a perversion in the spiritual dimension. And you say, oh, but she's a nice woman. You know, she's a good lady. She prays for her. It's still a perversion. And I know that'll go over real well. You know, I might have somebody tune in and say, well, my grandma, she's a much better preacher than you. And she, and I've had this conversation with a man. And he was ready to fight with me because I said what I just said right now. And he got so mad at me, he was shaking and quivering and slobber coming out of his mouth as he got me outside this church doors. And he said, I don't appreciate you calling my grandma a pervert. And he said, you put her into the same category as a woman sleeping with a woman and a man sleeping with a man. Now, the thing is in the natural world, a man leaves his own natural senses for the woman and goes to another man. That's a natural perversion. And it's filthy. Amen? And when you violate the written word in the scriptures, it is a more grotesque perversion. So if he would have really been listening, I said his grandmother was more perverted than a lesbian, if he would have really been listening. But no, I didn't call his grandma a pervert. I just said it's a greater perversion. And the thing is in your world, you could think a little girl standing on a street corner selling her body for she could buy more drugs is a perversion. But a greater perversion is when a minister torques the Bible and speaks it in gross air and lies to people that are going to be in hell for all of eternity. That's a greater perversion. You see, we got to learn how to judge, brethren, and how we analyze and what we look at. So everybody has a measuring rod of some sort or some kind to measure themselves. And a man that measures himself by himself and looking at others is a fool. And you say, well, you know, the Bible said, you know, speaking about someone, you call him fool, you'll be in danger of the hellfire. I'm not speaking against a child of God. I'm talking about a fool right now. Amen. There's a little bit of difference. Amen. I don't mind calling a fool, but I'm not going to apply that kind of thing to a son of God. We need to compare ourselves to the Bible and to the Word of God. Amen. And we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. All right, let's go over to Ephesians 6, man. Very common passage of scriptures. Boy, I like this verse, for children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Some say, well, you know, I don't have no father in the gospel. You know, I found Jesus. Well, you started out wrong right there. I'm going to invite you in the altars, get born again. He sought you out and found you. Amen. He sought you out and found you. Amen. If you're the redeemed of the Lord, amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Amen. We could talk about two different dimensions here, both natural and spiritual. Actually, the soul realm, father in the gospel, working with you through the transformation perspective. But we only got one father in the spirit, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I got to make sure we differentiate that right, because there's a scripture that says, call no man father except thine. The Lord was speaking that. But then yet we see also in the scriptures that one would father you in the gospel. That's not in the spirit realm. A lot of people get the second dimension, the soul realm and the spirit realm, crossed up. Amen. And the thing is they need to keep these things differentiated. A woman will tell you, say, well, you know, in the spirit, there's no male nor female. And that's why I could pastor a church, because I'm in the spirit and there's no male nor female there, no Greek nor Jew, you know, this and that. And I said, no, that's wrong. When you take that scripture to justify being a woman pastor, then the same man could say, well, I'm spiritual, I'm in the spirit, and I love this man over here, and I choose to make him my partner, my companion, or my husband, because there's no male nor female in the spirit. Well, that's a fag that just torqued the word of God into a perversion, and he lied and believed a lie, and he's going to burn in hell as a sodomite. Amen. I know people don't like the way I talk, but I'm just not polished like some of your preachers going to make all sin sound. It's okay. Don't want to offend nobody. I love to offend devils. And when the devil rises up and he gets angry and mad and offended, I just say praise God, because God said he'll laugh at them on the day of their calamity when they're suffering. He's going to laugh at them. Amen. You love the Lord? All right. Well, try to love me too. Amen. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, and admonishing of the Lord. I tell you, it's heartbreaking to see parents lose this right here and not bring them up in this. Amen. In the Lord. When fathers and mothers are taken and trying to get their children to think in a worldly mind and to think worldly and do worldly things, I tell you, there is nothing more heartbreaking to me than that. And you know, as I shared with you over the years, I've seen the blood of fathers. I've seen the blood of their children dripping off their hands in vision. Amen. Seen it dripping off, and the Lord showed me. That's heartbreaking. Amen. And what happens is people yield themselves to demon spirits. And they do things when people are truly trying to help them. As the Apostle Paul said, there was a time you would have plucked your eyes out for, but now I bring the truth to you and you want to kill me. I got people around me that way that they literally hate me. And all I've done nothing but bless them and try to help them in the gospel and in the word. But then yet they reject the word and go the other way, and the judgments and the wrath of God come on them. And they're too blind and ignorant in their own deceit. And they are so in love with themselves that the Bible said that their way's right in their own eyes. And they'll sit and think they're right. But how can a man or a woman think that they're right when everything is demolishing around them? I've seen people where everybody turns away. I've watched their families turn away from them. I've been doing this for a few years. I've seen mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and work acquaintances and everything. Everything just fails around them. And they still stand there, and it's everybody else's fault, and they're the innocent one, that nobody understands them. They don't understand themselves because they're full of the devil, and they're full of the Antichrist, and you still love them. You want to help them get delivered from the demons and from the devils, and then they smite you and try to kill you. Amen. You know, but praise the Lord. We just keep on going, keep on smiling, and loving the Lord. Amen. This is what we're accustomed to. We've been trained for this. He said they're going to hate you, Brother Rob. They're going to hate you. And they're going to do all manner of evil against you. Brother, the Bible said they'll put you to death in this end times. We're in the end times. He said they'll put you to death thinking they're doing God a service. You see, you don't think those scriptures are being fulfilled because you think in the wrong dimension. But brother, if I could help somebody and bring them to the kingdom of God, and you go to them and smite me and kill me and put me to death, you just killed me. That means my words have no strength with that man, no power. You know how many times I've been killed by people like that? The Bible said we're crucified all the day long, and they hate you. And when they do that, they're just hurting the other people, and they're going to have blood on their hands. They're going to have the blood of people upon their hands for doing those things. And you know, the more they hate you, the more you feel sorry for them because they're just blind. This isn't my battle, brethren. I'm not fighting this battle. I teach you we have to fight. This is his battle. Amen, because I'm his servant. And he's in me and I'm in him. And I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And when you attack me, you're attacking him. And he equips me and gives me the power to be long-suffering like he was, to go the extra mile and to do good to them that hate you. Amen? And this is what we do. Amen? And they bring coals of fire down upon their own head. Amen? Let's go on a minute. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. I could bring it into employees and employers. You know, and a lot of times you want to be a soul winner and you don't know how to work. You don't know how to treat the people over you. I don't care if you're working at Walmart, at Penny's. I don't care if you're working as a contractor. I don't care if you're doing whatever. You know, you need to learn the principles of God for you can bring the blessings. You know, when people are doing you wrong in business and you treat them like a son of God and you love them and show them the kindness of God and suffer the wrong, then God watches after your finances. But when you're always trying to manipulate everything and get the most out of everybody, God can't get on board with you on that. But man, he wants to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessings upon you. And you'll prosper. Amen. Following the Lord, not looking for what's good for you, but looking for what's good for others, will bring the best prosperity you've ever seen. Start trying it. Prove me wrong here. I've done proved it right, and I've watched everybody that's tried to prove it the other way. I've watched them fail. Amen. When you see wealthy people begging for bread or begging for a healing or begging for something that their money won't buy, amen, it's a different deal altogether. Amen. Y'all going to give me a couple minutes here tonight? Amen. Let's go back to 5 again. I'm going to try to get on down here a little ways. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh and fear, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart. Maybe I should stop there and preach a message on the singleness of heart. Too many double-minded hearts got their mind in too many different directions, and they'll never come to the revelation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Boy, if you can learn that, well, this guy ain't worthy. He's supposed to do it as unto the Lord. Well, this guy's not worthy. Well, did he ask you that? You do all things as unto the Lord, and God will watch after, and God will take care of you, and he'll start taking care of your battles. You know, when you feel like you owe somebody a rebuke and a reproof, and you're upset and angry with them, you just took care of all of yourself. Nothing's going to come out. But if you just suffer the wrong and love them, and I mean that, then God could do something that you can't do, and he'll bring help and correction to them. Amen. We need to learn how to love people, brethren. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. You know, I've been preaching this stuff for a long time, hadn't I? And I tell you, I said that, you know, you have the control of the heavens. You know, you have the power to bind the things up in heaven or loose them. The power to bind and to loose. Amen. The things in heaven and the things in earth. You know, and I tell people this, I said, the carnal mind, which is enmity with God, the carnal mind could bind things up in heaven to themselves. A carnal mind of man ain't going to bind the blessings of God coming to me, you see. But the carnal mind could bind the blessings of God. An unrepentant heart could bind up the love of God. An unforgiving heart, an unrepentant, unforgiving, he bound up the forgiveness, and God can't forgive him. You understand that? God cannot forgive them because he doesn't know how to forgive people. When you got a critical spirit and you're always upset with everybody all the time, you just bound that up in heaven. That's exactly the way God looks at you. You created the mercies of God, the forgiveness of God, and the love of God, how he does for you by the way you do to others. Come to that revelation, please. I'm telling you, I know people don't see it that way, but I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord, that's exactly the way it is. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. So what if he's not doing a good thing? He's going to receive the same of the Lord. Amen. When you're lying and cheating and bitter and cursing and cussing and drinking and smoking and snorting and in sexual immorality and perversion and filth, and you think you're a son of God and a child of God in that kind of shape? What kind of stinking stupidity is that? Amen. Amen. And you're bound up everything. Any blessings, anything that God could do for you, you've bound it up in heaven. You're not a candidate for it. Amen. And it's all by what you've done. Amen. I tell you, bitterness and hate is a terrible thing. It destroys and it kills so terribly bad. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him. You know, some employees, man, they lord over the inheritance of the people so bad and tough and rough and this and that. I mean, listen to me, church. As an employee, you run your business. You have a man that's late or not showing up and not doing those things. Reprove him, teach him, train him. You know, this isn't telling you as an employer, you just got to be long-suffering, let him walk on you. No, we're in a training program. We're perfecting people. We're a team. So, brethren, we got to take this line upon line and precept upon precept. Well, you know, you that show mercy, receive mercy. So I'm going to be merciful to this dope addict, and I'm going to just let him live with me. I'm being merciful, you know, and I've got really compassion and mercy, and I'm going to, you know, do this. Man, you're going to bring the judgments of God in here. You don't understand the scriptures. You understand that? But we want to be merciful to the drug addict and the dope addict and the perverts. We want to be merciful to them and love them. But mercy is we thinking that we're going to be living like a dog and we're merciful to other dogs, so we're going to find the grace of God in that? No, you misunderstood something somewhere. Amen. But we got to have mercy. Again, I always go back to talk about what Brother Frady said. He said, when does our compassion turn to compromise? That's a good question. And he ministered on it. And it's something that should be in your mind every day of your life. Oh, I heard a good message, you know, about a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. That don't mean nothing to me. What it means is that it should be in your spirit every day. When is my compassion turning to compromise? Amen? When is my long suffering turn into a point that I'm condoning the sin? Let me tell you one of the biggest tricks of the devil, because the devil works in the flesh. The devil's always going to try to make you feel sorry for him. When you got a guy that's a con man out here on the streets, and he comes up, hey man, you know, I'm a little down on my luck, I lost my job, this and that, you think you can help me a little bit, give me something? He's playing on your emotion. Amen? He's playing on your human compassion. A lot of them guys that come around don't care for me. My wife said, you're gonna get your hind end kicked out here one day. But I say, you know, they'll come up and say, oh, sir, you know, I'm a little down my luck. I said, you ain't down your luck. You're a lazy, stinking bum. That's what you are. Y'all don't believe that, do you? Oh, Robert was with me one time, man. He felt sorry for the guy. He didn't care if he was doped up, stoned, or what. He wanted to give him some money. I wore him out for about 5 minutes and got him in the car and took him over and bought him something to eat. But he needed a rebuke. He needed to be reproved. He was a begging dog. And I done helped him before. And the guy has worse memory problems than I do, because he's stupid enough to come up to me again and again and again. He's come to me 10 times, man. I'm thinking like, really, dude? You recognize this mug right here? You know, I'm that holiness preacher that done wore you out before. I'm driving down the road and I'll see him up at somebody's car window. I pull over and get out and I say, sir, don't pay no attention to this guy. He's a stinking lying dog. He got more money in his pocket than you got. You know how many times I've done that? And he said, maybe one of these days he's going to take and hit you. Well, praise God for that. Amen. I might kiss him back. I was all wrapped up on that motorcycle wreck, had this arm in a sling and a neck brace. And the guy came up, you know what I said to him? Oh, well, here's somebody. No, I told him the same thing. That's when my wife gave me the warning. She goes, man, you're all busted up and you're going to be in a guy's face like that? You know? You say, you need to be beat. Well, praise God. If he finds me worthy to be beat for his name's sake, man, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Amen. But people need to learn not to beg. The Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. And when a man comes up to you, he's automatically saying, look, I'm a heathen. When they come up begging for bread, they're saying, I'm a heathen. That's what they're telling you. So deal with them like a heathen. Say, look, you wretched dog, you need to get born again. God will help you. All right, let's read on. And you masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him. So that's going to remove all your racial lines and all your oh me lines and all this stuff. He's no respecter of them all. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to think a little bit on verse 12 here for a moment. Because a lot of times we make our battle with men. We make our battle with women. We make our battle with children. But it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we in the Pentecostal realm say, you know, well, I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. He said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. So now over here, now we're reading another side of it, and we're talking about the power. It's not against flesh and blood. If it's against flesh and blood, we can all go take some Taekwondo lessons. We can all start carrying a billy stick, billy club, start thudding some heads. But you can knock the slop out of somebody with a billy stick, and that don't run the devil out of them. Because believe me, if that did, we would probably have some black eyes and different things around the church a little more often. Amen? Amen? So we're not wrestling against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, we're talking about spiritual darkness, spiritual wickedness, spiritual powers, spiritual demons, spiritual devils. You know why people don't understand them? Because they don't understand the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't reduce or diminish the power of God, because it's an infinite power, man, that you can't do. But you can through your thoughts. Now, I said something a moment ago that the carnal mind could bind up things in heaven. But you can't bind things up from God giving it to me, but you bind it up from yourself. Now, the thing is the carnal mind, which is death and enmity with God, and it could diminish the power of God and make him powerless in this day. Well, he ain't done that for 2,000 years. Well, you just profess that to him. See, if a man comes up to me and he says, well, you know, I'm in disagreement with you, Pastor Rob. You know, God don't heal today. You know, God don't do that today. And I say, you're right. He doesn't, because that's your profession. And he can't do it for you. And he won't do it for you, because that is your profession. He yielded to the darkness of the carnality of spiritual wickedness to say that God is not the same. That's a lie to the word. Right here, the spiritual wickedness in high places came up into this man's mind and said that God is not the same today and forever. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And every generation. So when you come up to me and tell me that God's not doing something today that he used to do, amen, then I'm going to tell you that you, first off, no, most are lying. So I got to deal with the lying devil. Is that right? I don't care if he calls himself a Baptist, a Church of God, a Methodist, or whatever he is. It's a lie to the Word of God. So if we could identify, the fact is that we're not fighting against the intellectual man. We're not fighting against this guy in the wrong denomination. And we're not fighting against the preacher, or we're not fighting against a boss or whatever. There's spiritual wickedness. And the thing is just how we talk about we the sons of God. Okay, and we're supposed to be bringing good news and glad tidings. We're supposed to be helping people get their name to make sure that they know that their name is in the book of life. So what we're doing is we're taking a mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And we're trying to take people and get them into a mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happens is Satan, the master of deception, instead of you changing your thinking or transforming your mind, what he's doing is, instead of coming into the mind of Christ, he's polishing your religious mind. Now, I've made mention of this before, that I have a testimony of my own personal testimony. Now, I could talk about, you know, things that most people talk about, deliverance. People think, well, you know, I used to be an alcoholic. I got delivered from that. Well, praise God for that. You know, but there's people delivered from alcoholism in AA meetings that never, they call it the great power, and they don't even yield to that. But they just got willpower because they're going to lose their job, they're going to lose their wife, and they get sick of being a drunk, and they got enough stinking carnal sense to think there's nothing in being a drunk. It makes you sick, It costs you money. It makes you wreck your cars. It makes your wife leave you. Makes your children hate you. And it makes you have really terrible breath when you puke your guts out. Amen. It makes you fat. It does so many things like, oh yeah, let me have some of that. You know, you should think about it when you're a kid the first time you tried to smoke a cigarette. And then you turned green and you puke. That should have been an idea right there. Hey, it ain't for your body. But you're too stinking stupid. You want to be a tough dude. Yeah, give me another one. You know, I remember the first time, man, as a little boy. I'm going way back in the days before they had pull tops. So I had a little can opener in there. And my dad was a heathen man. And he'd say, son, give me a beer. And I'd have to go get it out of the little refrigerator. And I'd have to take a little popper topper and poke a hole, small one in one side, and pop in the other one and take it to him. So one day I'm a little guy. I'm probably 4 or 5 years old, I don't know. So I go get this thing from my dad and I peek up over the top. And he's sitting over his chair and I think, I'm going to take a drink of this. Man, I spit it all back over the floor, man. I took a drink and I said, my God, that's the nastiest stuff I ever put in my mouth. And I said, what in the world does he want to drink this stuff for? See, I should have stuck with that. But you grow up and get a little old and you want to be like dad, so you make yourself drink that junk. You know, but something, there's something just naturally saying ain't no good. You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine a man kissing another man? I mean, that's so grotesque to me. But somewhere, something should have just said, hey, this ain't right. Or a woman. I mean, there's something naturally saying, whoop, 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 wrong gender, you know. So they lean to the stinking spiritual wickedness and the perversions of filth and darkness for them to go to push over that. You lean to wickedness to learn to like alcohol. You understand that? So we're talking simplistic here, but we need to understand the powers of darkness. And because we don't understand the power of God, we don't understand the powers of darkness. But if we could come to a revelation of the power of darkness, we might come to the revelation of the power of God. Sometimes to understand sweet, you got to understand bitterness. You understand that? You know, you could see expressions in people. Your children at 11:30 in the day, after at 9 o'clock, they ate 4 pancakes, 2 pieces of bacon, whatever else. But at 11:30, they're starving to death. They don't even know what starving is. They've never probably been hungry before. Not in their mind, but, you know, you ain't going to get starving. They had a little thing the other day about 2 little girls. They were so thankful, man. I'll tell you, it moves my heart to think they found these little children that were lost. But they said they survived by drinking water off of some kind of leaf. I don't remember what they said. Some of you might have read the little story about. But 2 little girls, I think somewhere like 4 and 6. Somewhere like that. And I'm thankful they were found. And I told my wife, can you imagine the fear in these little girls to get lost out in the woods? And it got down to 30 some degrees that night. And these little girls out all night. I mean, to a little child, I'm sure it felt like a month and they were scared to death. So I'm not making light of that. But they had said that they survived by drinking water off these leaves. You know, and I don't say this in some cock-a-doodle-doo way. But I literally shut myself off from food for 21 days. And I'm not like some. Well, I've been fasting and ate 17 Oreos, you know, yesterday, but they're fasting, you know. And I drank 4 milkshakes up here at the place, you know. And, oh, I'm fasting, Brother Rob, but, you know, we're just, this milkshake don't count. I talked to a pastor one time. He said he wanted to go a day longer than Jesus on a fast. And he said he did 41 days. And the guy weighed 605 pounds. I think he could have went 80 and done like Moses did. You know, and he probably still would have been overweight. But he told me this. And then he told me later, he said, well, I ate, God, what do they call them things? Huh? Kumquat. It's a little fruit. I don't know if they have them out here. They got them on the West Coast. But he said, well, you know, I eat kumquats every day. And he ate the tree and the trunk too. No, I'm. But you know, that's not fasting. But what I'm saying is I did no food for 21 days. Zero. I'm saying not a peanut, not a cracker, not a chip, nothing. And drank water. And you know, people, I'm thinking like they'll say these, they were out lost in the woods for 5 days and they survived by eating, you know, wiggle worms. or what are they, little, you know, hey man, you know them little fuzzy things that crawl around and little inchy looking? I'm going to have to be out there for more than 5 days for one of them suckers going to start looking good. Come on now. You know, yeah, Lord, I'm just going to fast. I'll share mine with little Rob. He can have mine. Yeah. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. I don't know. You hear things and reports. I apologize if I sound like I'm making light of these little children. Tore my heart up. Just thanked them. Poor little kids out all night like that. They found them and they were in some kind of Girl Scout thing and they taught them some kind of things. They was able to keep warm. They both got into the same jacket. And the little girl was interviewed, the baby one. And she said, my big sister kept telling me that if we would sing these songs and everything, that we would be okay or wouldn't be afraid. And she said the next day, she goes, I've done everything she said, but it didn't work. Oh, boy. I tell you, that's a touching little story. Okay, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, let's try to think on this for a moment. A lot of this is discounted in people's mind, and that's why they're enslaved to the carnal mind. Brother Pike used to say it like this, and there's scripture for it, and it's got Bible, but he would say, the carnal mind's taken into captivity at the will of Satan. He say that all the time. You've probably heard it in many messages. Sister April, after I was up here, because I'd quote that all the time or say that, and she goes, where that at? And I went and I didn't find it exactly like it. It's there. It's a compilation of a couple different scriptures. But it's factual, and it's the Word of God, and it's backed by the Word of God. When you're carnal-minded, Satan will take your mind captive at his will. Because the Bible said the carnal mind is death and enmity with God. It's death. You see, but then yet, you're trained to be carnal. And you absolutely don't need an enemy in your life because your biggest enemy is your carnal mind. Now, I started to say a moment ago, I said, in my testimony letter, I wasn't testifying about drugs or alcohol or those kind of things. My testimony is I got delivered from religion. And the only person that will ever understand that is one that has been bound in religion and then found himself get free from it. Now listen to me very carefully here, because I've talked to people that would say they had the same testimony and they weren't a holiness church. And they weren't a work like this. And then all of a sudden now they got this special liberty in Christ. That they threw their dresses away and put on their tight-fitting pants. And the brothers put on their shorts. And they went to the beach and they said, man, I've been liberated. I've been set free from religion. That's a lie from hell. That ain't at all what I'm talking about. You understand that? That isn't even in the realms of what I'm speaking about. Being delivered from religion. But let me tell you the kind of religion I'm talking about getting delivered from. Your tongue talking and you're dancing and you're running around the church. And the louder the preacher shouts, the more anointed he is. Amen. And if he leaves the service, and I've done these things, brethren, you've seen me preach until my voice is gone. Some of you have never been out on the evangelistic field with me. But I've been out there, my wife has. And they bring me to churches, and I had zero voice. I say, Lord, you sent me here to preach, and I'd have to trust the Lord, and I couldn't even talk, but I could preach. And that means raising up my voice, and I went right into the Word, right into the preaching. Brother Jeff seen me in the evangelistic field in a prison, and it wasn't like no warm-up, was it? Brother Michael said I was like a racehorse at that gate. And they said, Brother Rob, I blew out the gate and said, you know, and I knew I just had a few minutes. I think I probably had about 30 minutes to reach those men. And I did everything I could. And I condensed a 4.5 hour message into 27 minutes and 30 seconds. Amen. They received well. They need that every night for a while and get the gates of them prisons opened up and free some men out there because they got filled with the Holy Ghost and converting people. Amen. And you say, I don't believe that would happen. Believe me, brother, I know it would happen, man, when people get right with God. You say, be careful, Brother Rob. You're speaking to men in prison right now. You're exactly right. I'm talking to them. I'm talking to men that I got in prison that are sitting in this church right now. They're in prison. They don't even know it. They're incarcerated. They're bound up, man, because they don't have the liberty in the Christ. They've been bound by spiritual wickedness and these darkness chains. You know, you could bind a man with fetters and chains. Come on, man. But there's people that are so bound up in chains of darkness that they wouldn't even know what freedom is. And they've been bound so long, they have no idea. You know, I was talking with a man that had bad eyes. He had them for so long. And he went down and got some glasses, and they put these down. And he goes, man, Brother Rob, I couldn't believe what I wasn't seeing. He goes, you know, when I'd see somebody drive by in the car, I could just tell it was an image in there. He said, I didn't know if, you know, like if I seen a car or something. He said, I just seen people in it, you know, man, you know, this and that. But he said, man, I got these glasses. I can see a face, you know. I remember when I got some the first time they put them on me. They put them on. They go, how's that look? And I go, I feel like I could shake the guy's hand on the other side of Walmart there. Yeah. I thought this store was real big, but I could touch that wall now. It's 130 feet over there, you know. Amen. Y'all all right? Amen. We're still talking about principalities and powers. Now, I say some things. I say people don't understand this fight. It's obvious they don't understand the fight because they're bound in the fight and they don't even know it. And they're losing to the darkness of demons in carnality. And they don't even know it. It's sad when a man does not know that he's bound. It's sad when a man doesn't know that he's blind. And when the preacher's preaching about blindness, it's never talking to me. It's always talking to the other guy. When the preacher's talking about, you know, when I met Brother Pike, I'd been on the ministry field. I'd seen people healed, delivered, saved souls, got men. I was doing prison ministry, and I was seeing things happen. And he told me, he said, when he baptized me in Jesus' name, he said, Brother Rob, this is going to get the shucks off your eyes. You know, it's like, hey, sir, I didn't know I had them. I didn't say that. But let me tell you something. I could tell you, see, I've come to more understanding now. And I could tell you something, brethren, I do see things that I didn't ever see then. I never perceived, never understood, nor comprehended. So he opened up my eyes to it. Amen? There's things in the natural dimension that show spiritual things. But you take a guy that never put a roof on a house before. Okay, he's just a kid or he's a young man, never done a roof. So he goes out and gets him a job, and now he's roofing. And you know, he used to drive through town and never look at roofs on houses. But now that he's doing it, he's looking at every roof he drives by, seeing if the lines are straight, if they're square. And he might look the way they cut in their valleys. He might look the way they flash their chin. But see, it never mattered about that. You take a man and train him in tile. And all of a sudden, now he's in a restaurant. Look at that kicker. Look at them wide grout lines. Look at that floor crooked. You know, he never saw that before. He never looked. He wasn't trained. So if the preacher is sent for the perfecting of the saints, for the utilization in the ministry, so what are we pointing out to people? We're showing them grout lines. We're showing them flashing on roofs. We're showing them, you know, ripples in the asphalt, a bad grade. We're showing them bumps in the drywall, bad tape joints. We're showing them, you know, bad cut lines. We're showing them when they paint doors and never take the doorknobs off. That would be an automatic fire from me. I cannot imagine a man ever taking and cutting in around a doorknob. To me, that is the most grotesque violation that I've ever heard of in the painting field. No, honestly, man, to me, I can't perceive that. I could see Brother Pike, what he'd say about that. I was telling a brother the other day, we were just talking about this, but I was putting 12 by 12 glass mirror tile in his bathroom, covering a whole wall with this. And he came in, and I pulled this one back off. And he said, Brother Rob, the Lord suffered this. And the back of this tile, I was using an eighth-inch V-notch trowel, which many of you in here know that. You're in tile business, and which we don't use too much of that nowadays. they don't use too much glue, but I was using an 1/8-inch notch trowel and putting it on the wall and sticking this mirror. Well, I got the mirror. I'd never installed this, so I'm reading about it, and it said to put 5 25-cent spots on the back of this mirror, one in each corner and one in the middle. If you know anything about what a dice looks like, a 5 on it, that's what it showed in this picture to do on this mirror. So then you stick it on the wall. Well, I thought, well, I'll just use a V-notch trowel. So I pretty much 100%ed it. But there was a spot about the size of a quarter right there on this thing. And Brother Pike comes in, and I pull this mirror off. And he said, the Lord suffered that. He goes, see right there, that spot? And I'm like, oh, I'd been there a million times with my natural father. I didn't say a word, and I said, yes, sir, boy. And I got that trowel out, hit that spot in. You know, I could have said, hey, sir, let me tell you something. This is the way it's supposed to do it. This is better, but I didn't do that. He was a perfectionist. So I'm saying I could imagine him coming in and me cutting in a doorknob with a paintbrush. I honestly, it don't work here. And people used to fight me because I took the hinges off all the doors. I know there's a time where you could leave a door hanging, it's better, and I've done it many times myself and that, but I've never cut in a doorknob. Even when it was painting apartment complexes that were freshen ups, rentals, wouldn't do it. I can't get past the doorknob, folks. I'm gonna have to go another direction here. Okay, let's go on just a moment. Okay, wherefore take unto the whole armor of God, the whole thing. Sometimes we just want part of it. That you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Sometimes when we stand so long, we think, okay, I'm done. I can't stand no more. But what he tells us to do? To continue to stand. When you've done all you can to stand, continue to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Sometimes it's hard to stand when you're trying to believe a lie. When you know the truth and you're trying to believe a lie, you won't be able to stand. Amen? See, sometimes it said put the whole armor. Talking about the whole thing. See, if we leave off the truth, we're going to be vulnerable, aren't we? Amen? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. In your first birth, you're unrighteous. We need Christ. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can speak about all these things. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How do you think we're reading something here and trying to teach you? So if this was against flesh and blood, I would be stomping right now and I'd be passing out shields. And I would be teaching you how to hold a shield, and I would have somebody back here shooting fiery darts at you, showing you how to shield them. Now you could understand if you ever shot a bow and arrow possibly or whatever, you could kind of get a mental picture of that. I could see shielding from a fiery dart. But how does a fiery dart get to you as a child of God, a believer that's being trained in spiritual warfare against principalities, powers, and these wickedness and these dark places? How is this fiery dart going to get to you? What is a fiery dart? What is a shield of faith? You know, and see, he's using allegories to teach us a spiritual fight. And this is serious. Now, if I had somebody launching fiery darts at me in the first dimension, naturally speaking, I would want to be very skilled with a shield. And if I had somebody pursuing me trying to take my head off, I would hope that I would have this sword. Amen? The sword of the Spirit, that I could have this thing for a protection. Amen? You know, your feet shot up with the preparation of the gospel shoes of peace. You see, these things are all talking about things as a warrior. He said, we're good soldiers for Christ. And see, you don't feel like you're in a fight. You don't feel like you're a warrior because you're in ease in Zion, and you're talking about all the great things that God has, and you forgot that you're in a warfare and a fight. You know, you could be an American, you could talk about peace in your country and about safety and stuff like that. You go over down here across the Mexican border, you get the 15-mile marker, and you got a dude with an M16 in your face talking to you. You're accustomed to that when you're in the foreign fields. In Israel, you get off, they got children at the airports, man, and they all got weapons and guns and checkpoints. Kids standing around on the streets. We don't see that in our communities too much. I know they got SWAT teams and these tactical teams that are trained, and we'll see them going in maybe to take care of some business. But it's a rule, it's not an everyday thing. But the brethren, listen to me. There's a training, naturally speaking, for fight, for weapons, and training. Now, we're going back to this particular time. We're going back years. No, they didn't have cannons and guns and stuff like that. And we could possibly do some writing of some things to teach us maybe a little bit different. We're in a warfare and a fight. And it's for real. Amen? We talk about a helmet of salvation, putting a strap and pulling this thing down on. And brethren, there's too many things that we're taking this armor off. And we're setting it down, and we're vulnerable. I say things in this church, and I marvel that people are losing things and taking place and losing things and ground, so to speak, in the spiritual realm and fight. And I speak against social media. And it's like, well, you're an idiot. You're an oddball. You know, every child's involved in social media. Education, everything goes through social media now. And, you know, there's some beautiful things. I got a phone too. I might Google some information or something. But at the very same time I'm saying this, you're opening up and subjecting yourself to so many things that aren't the truth and tainted. Everything's for sale. They got a remedy for everything out there. Just send them your money. It works. The only way that those diet programs on the internet work is you got to be out there working hard and working up a sweat to make the money to pay for the lie. And there's where you're going to lose the weight. And you say, oh, come on, Brother Rob. They work. I know for a fact they work. Then why are you still fat? Come on, fat people. Let's be honest. How many of you read every stinking diet plan out there? The skinny punk says he's read them. But what about, come on. Nobody's going to admit to this? Yeah, well, you know, I tried this and tried that. Some of them do work. But you know what we want? We want the preacher to pray for us and melt the fat. But wouldn't that be nice, man? I could have me a church of 5,000 in just a few minutes. You know, man, Brother Rob got an anointing on me. He lay hands on the fat, melts away. You know? And I'd probably tell him, said, well, the Bible says lay hands on no fat person suddenly. Amen? But we're lazy. We're lazy spiritually. We want everything for nothing, no effort, no fight, no struggle, no push, no pain. Amen? So nowadays we got babies being delivered. They got pain pills, they got gas they breathe, and stuff, epidurals or whatever, and they do all these different things and make it as painless as possible. So it's a reflection of what's going on in the spiritual realm. Oh, it's okay, man, there's no fight, there's no warfare, man, we're in Zion, we're all kicking back. Jesus loves us just the way we are, dress like you want, talk like you want, look like you want, everything's good, praise God, and they're all going to hell. The whole world is sucked up by the Antichrist. They don't understand principalities and powers. They don't understand spiritual wickedness and darkness whatsoever at all. The darkness is the carnal mind. Amen? The fiery darts. How are we going to talk about them getting into a man's mind? It's, man, you're reading these things and putting them in your mind and putting in your thoughts and molding your thinking. Brethren, to a spiritual person, you could see the darkness and the wickedness so easily. And you could marvel at why people are bound by it. But as I use the politics of America today as an example, there's things that are going on and it's like, and I like marvel in my mind thinking like, honestly? Like, really? You know? And it's like, are you going to really try to sell this to the American people? And then I'm thinking like, surely the American people ain't this dumb. But then I'm starting to find out they've all transformed their mind. And there's a spiritual wickedness and darkness that has taken over the politics of America. And they're blind. And they got blind leaders of the blind. And they're all thinking the same way and speaking the same way. And I'm not trying to get into politics here. But I'm saying, if you would just look at it with a common sense mind, it's like, come on, man. Do you really think that this is going to work? Hey, it sounds good to me. Hey, free health care, praise God. Man, I like the sound of that. Man, bring it on. But then yet, would I ask for something like that would totally destroy the nation? Well, other countries got it. Why can't we have it? Well, if they would stop possibly with that, it would be one thing, but that ain't good enough. They want everybody to have a paycheck. And I'm not getting into politics. I'm talking about the stupidity. They said we want everybody to have a paycheck for nobody will feel, I forgot the word they used. So everybody, if you work or not, is going to get a paycheck. Boy, I like that one. I'm going to vote for her. Now, come on, man. You know, but what happens when everybody quits working? Who's going to keep putting the money in that pot? Oh, it's government money. Well, where'd it get there? You stinking dumb dog. You know, somebody had to put it over there. America's made the mistake. They ran these presses and they kept printing money. And the dollar value kept getting smaller. And it's not worth as much as it used to be because they decided to run the presses and make this money. And you know what? That don't work neither. There's got to be something behind that money. At one time, you used to have a gold certificate behind it. Now it's backed up by, what do they call it nowadays, the certificate? What's it called, Brother Chuck? I know you know everything. It's a note. Yeah, it's a note backed up by the government that's printing the money. It's getting nowhere worse. Some of the nations have studied this, and they could see the downfall of America for that. They better stop them presses, and they better get the people back to work. You know, when the people are looking for free health care, and they're all voting these lunatics in there to get it. But I ask the people of America, does anybody know anybody denied medical treatment in this country? Have you ever seen somebody in a wreck that they rolled them, the ambulance went so we can't have you? Has anybody seen that? Now, I know you're going to find people that say that, but I'm telling you what, they take them in and they take care of them and they fix them. People get taken care of. And the people that are using this free medical called Medicaid and Medicare, they're lunatics because they don't care because it's free. It ain't costing nobody nothing, but it's just run things up. I don't think you need to take your kid to the emergency room because it's got stinking snot in its nose. Steve Beachy was 50-some years old the first time he ever went to a doctor in his life. You know, and you say, well, you know, but see, there's no value to it. I just got done talking with a man, and I'm saying every hand-me-down business where the son didn't help and didn't labor, didn't sweat with the father, and they hand to him, they ran it into the ground every time. I can't hardly tell you if any business ever survived. I listened to an interview. I'm going to sound like a politics again, like I'm pro-Trump. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I heard his son interviewed, and he said when he was a little boy living in a billionaire's home that his dad had him out on construction jobs in skyscrapers, even sweeping floors and picking up the debris and the tailings from the trim carpenters and stuff was making him work. Amen. I appreciate that because otherwise he might have been another white trash rich punk kid with no respect and don't know how to work. I had friends like that I went to school with. Their fathers were millionaires. They got anything they wanted, they get tired of it, and they'd go light it on fire. I watched a man burn a Harley Davidson and a brand new pickup truck, and grandpa just go buy him another one because he got tired of it. You know what that kid did? Jeff, he did what you did. About the same age you were, the kid went to prison for armed robbery, had everything he wanted, had no respect for nothing. Dads need to learn how to raise their children. Some of these guys in prison are in there because their dads were punks. And they didn't know how to teach them and love them and whip their hind in when they needed it. And they ended up in prison. You say, man, Brother Rob, You're just wearing everything out tonight. I ain't even got started. You want to read about principalities and powers and not talk about them? The principalities and powers have filled the hearts of fathers in America and the hearts of mothers in America. They put them out in the work field to make money and letting some other stinking dog raise their children called child care that don't care about them, and to let them watch what they want and do what they want, don't have no concern for their soul. And they sit in these places. America's messed up. You know, well, we just can't afford. We got to have both of us working because we just can't afford to make it. Well, no, you can't afford it because you got a $900 smartphone, you ignorant thing, when you could get by with a $26 flip phone and raise your children. And you wouldn't need to be on the stinking smartphone if you was being a mother raising your children. Well, I'm going to get somebody mad here tonight. Man, praise God. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. You know, they talk about, like, down at the end, they take these weapons and beat them into plowshares and stuff like that. You know, wonder what they're going to do with these cell phones, huh? Brother Pike said it's going to go back like it was in the early times, and all this stuff is going to be gone. You know, it needs to be gone. It's supposed to be for the betterment of the people, and it's killing them and destroying them. You pray for things for God to give to you. You say, why should I give this to you? You're going to kill yourself with it and destroy yourself with it. You're going to get so carnal with it, I'll never find you. You'll never hear my voice. Brethren, it's an epidemic proportions, parents killing their children. They're going to stand guilty before God as murderers. I knew a woman who was in this church, and she loved her stinking, filthy, stinking schnauzer more than she did her own children. Them schnauzers couldn't do nothing wrong, and the children couldn't do nothing right, because that's the way mama treated them, just like that. And you say, you're going to just mess up everything. Well, I hope so, because parents are destroying their children. It's the parents' fault that the children are going to hell, because dads and moms don't love them enough to teach them and to train them and teach them right from wrong. If they had their houses in order, you would see order in the apartment store. You'd see order in the downtown when the children are in town. You'd see the order because you don't put up with it at home. And the kid don't even try when it's out in public because it knows that the judgment is twice as bad. You say, well, that's your way, preacher. I'm going to do it my way. Your way is the path to hell. My way is the road of righteousness. Because my way is the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord. You've been swayed by the education system of America. You've been swayed by it. You've watched too much perversion on the televisions and on the news, and you've got your mind transformed into a mind of darkness by spiritual wickedness that we was reading about up there on that board a little bit ago, and principalities and powers. They've infiltrated your mind. Those fiery darts have penetrated and burned in these images in your mind and thoughts. Come on, church. I'm telling you, brethren, this is a for real fight. It's a for real warfare. You're walking in the land of Zion. Everything's easy. Everything's okay. You don't work, they feed you. They give you welfare. They give you everything. But America, we need benevolence. Brother Pike said that wasn't the government's responsibility. It's the church's responsibility. If the government would have left it with the churches, they might have had pastors and said, look, you lazy sluggard, you don't work, you don't eat. We get some hungry people out here for a little bit. They'll go get them a job. Amen? Amen? The church knows how to take care of it right. But the government, because of socialism and because of this socialist mindset that's infiltrating America, it's give me everything. We all got to become equal. You know, and you say, you know, well, that's biblical in the Bible. You know, they all come to common in one thing. But, you know, they had preachers then, and it wasn't some common sucker sitting on his lazy hind end getting the same thing as the man that was working. When the early men came over here as founders, when the men weren't in church services, they took their food rations away for missing one church service for a week. And food was kind of tight when they come over here. Take their food rations away for a week and don't ask what happened when they cursed about it. You think of, they started tongue piercing back then in the 1600s. They did. They pierced them tongues. Boy, they would drive a wood that wide, go down to a point like a triangle. I looked at one, I saw one. And they would take it when a man cursed and used filthy language. They put that thing on his tongue and they would drive that all the way through his tongue. The second church service they missed, they would take their food rations away for 2 weeks and beat them. Boy, we'd have some good attendance, wouldn't we? Huh? Boy, we need to build on a little bit. Huh? You say, Brother Rob, you going to go back to them old paths? Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, the founders of this country bear with some things, man. They were real men. And they knew what discipline was. But today we got snowflakes. Don't you offend me. Don't you say nothing. They water everything down. Can't say nothing about nothing. Going to compromise and pat everything down. Amen. Well, brethren, we need to learn about this warfare and this fight. We need to learn that you're in it. I don't care how young you are and how old you are. I hope that if you're young, your parents are helping you, praying for you, and trying to protect you somewhat. But most of your parents are so incarcerated in the carnality of this world that they can't help the children. And the children are dying and suffering in their presence, and they're too blind and too carnal to even see it. And they're going to see their children in damnation and hell. And one day it's going to be more than they could bear in their hearts. Amen. And by the grace of God, if they'd even make it in himself. Verse 18, it says, praying always with prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. We should be praying one for another, because what I'm telling you is the truth tonight. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, they might have to rewrite that boldly part, you know, with this snowflake society we're in. You know, we want to water it down a little bit, Olsteinize it. And, yeah. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Had some confidence in him, didn't he? Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to have a word of prayer for a brother incarcerated here in just a minute. I'm going to get Brother Chapman to stand in for Brother Godfrey. And he's got himself in a real warfare and a travail, having troubles getting victory in it, having trouble seeing the fulfillment of the completion of this thing. And we're going to pray in just a few minutes, just for a moment. Brethren, I've had people in the church services here that sat under ministers for many years that were bound up with complications in their spirit and in their lives. That they had things that were held deep-rooted in them from bitterness, deep-rooted in them from hate, deep-rooted in them because they were violated as children. Brother Jesse said that bitterness, he said, is you eating poison hoping the other person die. There's people that have been violated and they got so much anger issues against the one that violated them that now they have become, they're not just a victim from them, they're a victim now. You understand that? Many times victims turn into the predators in many cases. It's heartbreaking to see the sexual sins of sexual immorality against children. But many times the children were victims, Brother John, as little children. We had a man we was ministering to that was being sodomized at the age of 6 years old by a brute beast made to be taken and burned. That'll burn in hell forever and ever and ever torment. And this child ended up raising up, being sodomized in his younger years and stuff. He fell to be a victim and got into incest with his own sister. Ended up going to prison for sexual perversion and immorality. Amen. And even to the point, as he got married and had children, to even violate one of his own daughters. This is wretched, brethren. It's because they didn't learn to fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. Amen. And they entertain these kind of things. Amen. The warfare is in the thought realm. You see, it's not against flesh and blood. It's in the thought realm. A man needs to get control of his heart, get control of his spirit, and these kind of things, that he won't fall prey or a fiery dart. Amen. If you would do the preparations, amen, that they're speaking of in this full armor of God, maybe we can go to the closet to get the armor. I was going to say it'd be like getting dressed. You go to the closet and get the things, but it might be a prayer closet. That's very much needed. And we got to learn in prayer life that we're listening as much as we're speaking. And maybe we should be listening more than we're speaking. It doesn't take me long to pour my heart out to God of what my petitions are, but to get the instruction how to fix or to overcome or to repair or to walk in, that takes some time in meditation and supplication and fasting and listening and being quiet. Study to be quiet. Amen. And listening. You see, a lot of times we think quietness is no noise. And it is in one dimension. And in the spiritual realm, Brother Pike said a dove will not light on something with a lot of chaos around. But that's what the Holy Ghost is. And sometimes a man could be sitting there in a quiet room, but there's a lot of noise around. And a lot of things going on in the spiritual wickedness. And so much things that there's no peace there. Because it's not quiet in the spiritual dimension. But the spirit dimension is like that dove nature of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to come in and bring in this beautiful peace. I feel the Holy Ghost, amen, helping somebody right now, even while I'm speaking that, amen. And the thing is that, you see, we're always looking for something to come from outward. But Bible says it's the rivers of living water flowing from the innermost being. While you're looking for God to come down from some planet to help you, brethren, you need to call, because if you're his predestined elect, he is in you and through you and set there in the foreknowledge of God, and you need to trust him to start coming forth. And it's an inward work coming forth and manifesting in the outer garment. It'll come forth. Brother Pike said it's like that chicken in that egg, and it's going to be pecking away, and that old shell is going to come away, and then the little life comes forth and comes out. Amen. It's the child within a mother, another revelation, and it's going to come forth out of that little sack, and it's going to come right forth with some water and some blood, and then the life is going to come forth. We got to start understanding that the life is within, the strength is within, and the power is within, but we're always looking outside for it. But when we start praying in the Holy Ghost and believing and trusting in the Lord, we start finding, the Bible said, a man praying the Holy Ghost and he feels it building up that innermost spirit, that innermost power. Amen. But we're always looking outside for it to come. And this is why the church is in lost condition, because they go to church and the rain comes down. The rain comes on. They feel like, man, I got it. I got the rain. Hallelujah, man. Praise be to God. Glory be to Jesus, man. The rain's coming down and I'm dancing in the rain. They think they got it. That ain't it, brother. That's what comes on the tares too. Amen. It's an inward quickening. It's the quickening of his spirit. It's the power of his holiness, the power of his might coming up like rivers of living water. And it comes forth and moves. Amen. Hallelujah. So the carnal mind and the carnal man gets everything from out. The spiritual man gets everything from within. The invisible things are the internal things. The natural things are the visible things. The natural and the visible are the temporal. Amen. We need to get filled with the power. Amen. And we need to let the power come forth. And when it comes forth, it regenerates, it molds, and it empowers. Amen. All right, let's sing a song or two. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, Father, as I, a man, need wisdom, Father, you asked me to do a job. Father, I could stand here and say that you've equipped me and empowered me. But Father, I still stand before you saying, Father, the gift of wisdom, Father, is something that I need daily. Father, wisdom and knowledge, Father, that I could be a better servant, Lord, a better soul winner. Father, I want the wisdom to win souls. Father, as this man finds himself in a travail to bring an increase into your kingdom, Father, as he finds complications in his own camp, Lord God, I'm asking you to help him and guide him and lead him. Father, I thank you for people that want to come to the altars to start out with prayer. But Father, I know that we're a people that have to have application, Father, and bring forth fruit and vindication of your word. Father, we know what the revelation of Jesus Christ is. It isn't in the altars pleading. It's in the world manifesting. But Father, even though as we saw Jesus himself petition your throne and ask you and made request, Father, as we do the same, we stand in request right now that you bring the manifestation of wisdom into the household of this, my brother. And let there be fruition, Lord God, and vindication of your spirit made known in all actions. And Father, as he tries to lead a companion in, let him listen and make the alterations and the adjustments necessary for such a thing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Jeff, if you'll come up in the altars, I want you, brethren, all gather around them. Oh, masala matala masali asali oshoto lo makishi deli bake srehe sro tolo yashiti di matali masanda de makasi oh de la mashi kasha tale matali asanda le asiti ikishi. Almighty God, as I petition your throne right now, Father, feel your presence, feel your virtue, feel your anointing, Lord God. Father God, we're asking you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as this man is crying out in desperation, most gracious Father, come forward a little bit, Brother Jim. As this my brother's cried out in desperation, Lord God, he feels like he can't stand it anymore, hold on to it any longer, Almighty God. Father God, I ask you right now to let the virtue of my Lord Jesus move right now into that prison right now and touch him, Almighty God, in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, Satan. You're a liar and the father of all lies, and I've got all authority and all power, and that brother has all authority and all power over you, Satan. And I say you cannot harm or touch him. You've perplexed him. You've grieved him. You've oppressed him, and I rebuke you and say your reign is over, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say you must depart and leave him alone. And Father, I ask you to fill up that void with your Holy Ghost and power, Lord God. Let that thing be swept clean and garnished and full of the power of your Spirit, Lord God, that that man could stand in the power and the might of the Holy Ghost, unmovable and unshaken and untouched in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayers, Lord God, and that you're moving in his behalf right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I can tell you something's happening. Something's moving. Something's breaking. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel pretty good, John. Anybody want to drink some wine with me? That's good stuff, man. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what, I'm intoxicated in here preaching the gospel, drinking some of that good wine. Amen. You want some? Amen. I like that wine. You like that wine, little sister? How old are you? How old? Ten? Okay, ten. That's old enough, man. It's old enough to be drinking that wine, ain't it, Brother John? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You like that wine, Brother Radio? Huh? You been drinking some of that wine, brother? Huh? Amen. It's good stuff, man. Hallelujah. You don't get no hangovers with this wine. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You tired of fighting that thing too? Is that what you're here for? Amen. I don't like it either. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some of you, brethren, let's take some oil and anoint this little sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. As we continue on singing lightly, as we pray for these people. Brother Godfrey, I really felt the Spirit of God move in a mighty way for you tonight. Not just a profession of faith, I'm speaking by the authority of Christ. Amen. God moved for you way back 2,000 years ago, but something's vindicated tonight, thus saith the Lord. Amen. I really felt the virtue of the Lord in a mighty way. Amen. You know, brethren, I don't ever want to, and we're going to close right now, but I don't ever want to discourage anybody away from prayer, coming into the altars with an expectation. But brethren, I'm finding that in many times, people are wanting the supernatural to happen right here in these altars, but they're not expecting it at home. And it's like, I'm going to come into these altars and I'm going to pray. But honestly, brethren, I hear the answer from heaven and the solution to the problems. I hear it. And you say, well, you know, Brother Rob, you can't make us think that God can't supernaturally just remove us. He could rebuild a pancreas, brother, and take away diabetes like that. He could remove cancer like that. He could open blind eyes like that. That's easy stuff for him. But sometimes it's like the sluggard that prays and says, Lord, send somebody over with food to my house. Well, man, he'd rain manna down for his children, but there wasn't a Walmart out there. You know what I'm saying? And he'd rain manna down for him, and he could do that. But at one point of time, if he does that, he's violating his own word, because he's teaching a man that he could stay home and pray and be a sluggard and be rewarded for it. God don't do that, but the U.S. government does. You understand that? But God doesn't do that. And people will come and expecting this benevolent God and this good God and this merciful God, and they come in here and they think that this God is just going to do this stuff for them. And many of the things are because of disobedience and unbelief. And he's going to say, gird up your loins, be a man. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight, press, push. Amen. Pull on the prayer bells of heaven. Amen. Expect God. And a lot of times in these things that are perplexing you, God's trying to build your faith. He's trying to get you out of easy street. Amen. He's trying to get you into a place. But see, people got a welfare mentality, a microwave mentality. I want it instantly. I want it now. If I don't get it over to altar, you know, I'll go to the pharmacy. Praise God. Praise God for the pharmacy. What you going to do when that fails? And when the healing medicine don't work? You know, that's why we got to exercise faith. We could take an aspirin for a headache, or we could do this, and it works. Praise God for aspirins. Amen. But sometimes we got to exercise faith a little bit, because one day when the aspirin ain't there and you exercise faith for it, then what about when something major comes on they don't have a medicine for? Amen. We got to get it. Got to get a hold of it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm expecting a good report from Brother Van. You say, what if you don't get it? I say, well, I'm expecting one. And you say, well, you have expectation of God always. I expect God's word to be made manifest. Am I expecting God to heal him? God already done that. I'm expecting it to be manifest. You see, when I went the redemption of this body, it wasn't redeemed when you see it happen. It's already the redeemed of the Lord. But it'll come to a fruition or a witness that people will see it. You understand that? Amen. Praise God. You love the Lord? Praise God. He's good. Amen. Everybody clear tonight? Smile. Jesus loves you. God's good, isn't he? Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Brother Billy's dealing with some things. The doctors told him some things. I don't think we have to believe them all. But I said, why don't you come out here and me and you will walk every morning. We could come to altars and pray. But see, he could help me out a little bit, fix himself a little bit too. Come walk with this fat boy. Maybe it'll help that one. See there, if he comes out here for my sake, say, ah, man, I'm okay. I don't need none, but I'm going to go help that pastor out. He's a little fat, so I'm going to come out and walk with him every morning. Amen. See, and all of a sudden he has another purpose in it, and he gets the benefits from it. So that's the spiritual principle. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Let's be in prayer about the prayer requests, the things that come forth. And let's be in prayer about word, doctrine. And let's be in prayer about if we have a prayer request, we're coming to hear the answer. Prayer is communication. Prayer brings solution, but the solution comes through obedience. Listen to this. Through obedience. You can be fat and say, Brother Rob, pray for me. I'm overweight and I got high blood pressure. I got this, I got that. Pray for me. And I can say, okay, I'm praying for you. I got the solution. Push the plate back and start walking and trust God. Now, you're going to do that, and that may not work by itself, but God see you do everything that you can, and then the supernatural moves, and he could fix the heart. But you got to take that first step. He will not move for you, thus saith the Lord, until you make an application yourself. Faith, brother, comes into play when your actions stop. But people want to think they got faith. I'm hungry. I'm going to pray for food. And God says, no, go to work. And then that might not be enough to feed you. But he says, you've made an action now, and I'm going to move. And then God will supernaturally move, and he'll bring manna to you. But you got to do something first. I'm telling you, that's the way he works. And you say, I don't believe that. I know that's why it ain't working for you. But that's the way it works. Love y'all. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.